Your way up, introduce Brother Caleb. Take again much introducing. You heard him twice, as we heard Brother Harrison say. I hope you respond to the Holy Spirit during the service tonight. And again, I can't help but think, as he gave another illustration today about more than one in the message today about soul winning. You could just tell the heartbeat of Pastor Hansen. It's about souls, winning souls. So thankful, Brother Caleb, you haven't changed. And although we may be separated by miles, it sure is good to hear your voice again, hear you preach. And so excited to hear what he has in store for us. Brother Tharp, if you'll come sing for us, Brother Caleb will preach.
The news came to Jesus, please come fast. Lazarus is sick, and without your help, he will not last. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus, he did not come, and they wondered why the death watch was over, buried for days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here, the Lord is on his way. So Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him, he'd still be alive. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is lost. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. But his way is God's way. It's not yours or mine. Isn't it great when he's 4 days late that he's still on time? Jesus said, Martha, show me the grave. She said to the Lord, you don't understand, he's been there 4 days. Oh, the gray stone was rolled back, and then he cried, Lazarus, come forth. Then somebody said, he's alive, he's alive. Now you may be fighting, oh, a battle of fear, and you've cried to the Lord, please hear me now, but he did not appear. Oh, don't be discouraged, 'cause he's still the same. And he'll soon be here. He'll roll back the stone, and then he'll call out your name. When he's 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't understand why you waited so long. Oh, but his way is God's way. Not yours or mine. Isn't it great when he's 4 days late that he's still on time? Isn't it great when he's 4 days late that he's still on time?
What an exciting place to be in. Good night. What a song, Brother Tharp. Thank you so much for that great special. Praise the Lord. He's always on time. Amen. I can't believe we are on at the last service. It's gone so fast, and the nerves, your nerves are all spent, and you're wore out from chewing your fingernails and whatnot, and it's over. It's done. And we'll find out who wins first place, second place, third place, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and so on and so forth here in just a little bit. But my goodness sake, what a wonderful group of young people. What a wonderful, wonderful group of young people. And Brother Harrison, when you said there's a lot of potential, I'm not sure where you are here. There we go. A lot of potential in the room. And I think we have double the potential that was in the upper room before the day of Pentecost, 120. Look at all the teenagers here. And the key is being filled with the Holy Spirit, letting the Spirit of God use you in a great way when you go home, not just at convention, but when you go home, let the Lord continue to work in your heart and use you in your communities. Brother Harrison said that this was his second home. I feel exactly the same. I love this place. And I said it last night, but I want to say it again. I love Faith Baptist Church. And I love Pastor Angel. And Thank you, Pastor, for all that you've done for my family. And met at college. Young person, you do not know God's journey for your life. You don't know it. And I'll promise you, it's always better than what you can dream it could be. It's 100 times better. I want to say thank you, Pastor, so much. All the talks, all the great staff meetings, Brother Jason, Brother Don, and others. We can all relive some wonderful, wonderful staff meetings. Pastor Angel twisting the toothpick in his mouth. I'll never forget. Brother Jason is over on one side of the table. And I'm roaring on the other side. And Pastor Angel's tipping back his chair, thinking, who in the world do I have on staff? Oh, my goodness. Oh, such wonderful, wonderful memories. Don't deserve them. Don't deserve them. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for the hotel. Pastor and Brother Bragg for setting that up and organizing that. Thank you for the basket, the fruit basket that we received. It's such a kind gesture. And the kids saw the fruit basket, and boy, I tell you, whoa, look at that, grapes. Oh, how about this? And water and crackers and all kinds of stuff. They were pumped about that. And so whoever made that, thank you. I think it was Esther Johnson that made it, and so thank you so much for that. The meals, the privilege of being able to go out with Brother Luke for lunch today. Thank you, Brother Luke, and all the preparation that went in to pilots when I was on staff. This is my favorite service to not be in, because we were breaking down the school building and preparing it for Sunday and getting everything back to normal. And I knew that spring break was just a couple of days away, and that was always exciting. But much preparation, and even as we are in the auditorium, there's preparation going on for Sunday. And I want to say thank you for all the work, and Faith Baptist Academy, all the work that you put in to this conference as well, getting ready for it and being a help to the principal. And what a blessing. Teenagers, I want to say thank you for coming. And youth directors, for bringing your young people. And they would not get here without you. We hope not. Maybe they would drive themselves. But if it wasn't for you, the late hours and driving and so on and so forth. And thank you so much. And all the work that went into that. And young people, you have been great. You have been fantastic. Your spirit, I love the spirit, the excitement and desire to serve the Lord. There was a group of young men that came over, and their youth, I think it was youth director, came over and chatted this afternoon in the hotel. And the fellas were just talking about, you know, I ride this bus route, I work on this bus route, we do this ministry. That's a blessing, young people, to have that kind of fervor and that kind of testimony. I think right over here, Belvedere, right? Belvedere, yes. What a blessing it was to meet you fellas. And just talk about ministry as teenagers, and keep it up, keep it up. God has something very special for you, and what a blessing that is. We're going to be over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3 tonight. We're going to begin with verse number 1, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and verse number 1. I have just one burden on my heart that I want to share with you tonight. Last night, we talked about professor or possessor, making sure that you are saved. And then this morning, we talked about something that we all face, and that is the guilt of sin that comes. And whose voice are you listening to? Or the question was, who's got your ear? Either the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit or the accusing voice of Satan. Both of them speak to you, and you have to know how to decipher which voice you are listening to. Tonight, I want to bring just a simple thought to you this evening, entitled, Dedicated, Now What? Dedicated, Now What? We find Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision." The Bible tells us that the child Samuel came to the tabernacle and served with Eli, did the work of the Lord with Eli. And we're going to study here tonight. We're going to look at Samuel's life and what he did with his life after he was dedicated. Let's have a word of prayer. Dearly Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the great privilege of being able to come to Pilate's convention. Lord, much preparation physically has gone into this conference, Lord, in with the teenagers, with the home church, Lord, the host church, and God, all the preparation. And then, Lord, I can't imagine how many prayers have gone up to heaven. Thousands of prayers, no doubt, Lord, have been sacrificed on the behalf of your work in the hearts of the young people. And so, God, we're coming to the end of the conference, and we ask, dear God, that you would have full control over this service, Lord. Please, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of the teenagers tonight. Lord, please remove me from the pulpit. God, I pray that your voice would be heard in the hearts and the minds of the people tonight, Lord. I pray that you do a work. God, if somebody is not saved, if they haven't made that decision, God, tonight I pray that this would be the service that they make that decision. Lord, if somebody is discouraged, I pray that this evening they would be encouraged through the Word of God. And Lord, if somebody is running from you, God, I pray that you would arrest them and bring them back to your side and draw them close to you. God, I pray that we would all listen with attentive ears. In Jesus' name we ask these things, and amen. Many of the young people here tonight were in the same position that Samuel was in chapter 3. Samuel, as a young lad, was dedicated, as an infant, I should say, was dedicated by his parents. They brought him to Eli, and they asked Eli to pray over Samuel. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 20. We can read where Eli asked God to bless Samuel's life. And Samuel's parents dedicated Samuel to the Lord. They had received him from God, and they went to the tabernacle, and they dedicated his life back to God. They gave up their rights. They relinquished their will, their dreams, their ambitions for their child, and gave him back to the Lord. And I believe that's a wise thing for every parent to do, is give their child back to the Lord. We find a few years later, the Bible does not tell us exactly how much time had transpired between the dedication service and the time that his parents came and dropped him off at the tabernacle. But the Bible says here in chapter 3 that Samuel was brought to the tabernacle. And it was there in the tabernacle that Samuel learned from Eli, and he studied the things of the Lord, and he ministered. The Bible says he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. So he served the Lord in the presence of Eli. After the special service, you think to yourself, my goodness, what happened after Eli prayed for this young lad? Was there something supernatural that took place in Samuel's life? We read where Samuel did many wonderful works in his lifetime. But really, what transpired after he was dedicated to the Lord? We find him dropped off there at the tabernacle, given to the work of the Lord. After he was dropped off, then what? Then what? Well, the next morning he woke up, ate his breakfast, did the chores that Eli told him to do, served Eli. It was night, went to bed, woke up the next morning, ate breakfast, went to Eli, asked him what needed to be done, did his responsibilities around the tabernacle, closed everything up for the evening, went to bed. The next morning he woke up, ate breakfast, went to Eli and said, what do you want me to do? Eli gave him the responsibilities of the tabernacle, and he did those responsibilities. What happened? Was it a big supernatural event that took place? No, absolutely not. The young man Samuel, the lad Samuel, went to the tabernacle. He was dedicated. He had given his life to the Lord. But the Bible tells us after that, then what does he do? And my question tonight is, I'm dedicated, now what? I'm dedicated, now what? As a teenager, many of you, your parents have brought you to the altar, maybe at a baby dedication service, and as you were just a little child, they held you in their arms, or maybe your pastor held you in his arms and prayed over you and asked God to bless you, and your parents dedicated you to the Lord. Or maybe there was a service and the Spirit of God spoke to your heart and you came to the altar and you gave your life to the Lord. Do you remember that? Has there been that time? Probably 90%, maybe more than that, have made that kind of a decision or have had your mom and dad dedicate you to the Lord. But the question tonight is, now what? You're dedicated, now what? Now what do you do? I believe it's very simple tonight. I have a very simple message for you. It consists of four words. I believe that Samuel did two things. The first one we find here in verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. If you got a pen, you can circle those words. Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. You say, what is that? Samuel did something that was so simple. It's called doing right. Samuel did right. In the presence of God and Eli, Samuel did right. That's it. Say, Pastor, or Brother Hansen, I'm dedicated to the Lord. I've given myself to God. My parents have dedicated me. Now what? Do right. Do right, young person. Just do right. And the great thing about it is I don't have to go through a rap list of what is right and what is wrong. You already know. You know. And all you have to do is do right. Samuel did right. As a child, this is the time to structure your character to do what is pleasing before God. Right now, in your teen years, this is the time to structure your character before God by doing right. Do what is right. What was Samuel doing when he woke up in the morning? He was doing right. What did he do in the morning hours before noon? He was doing right. What did he do in the afternoon? Right. He was doing right. What did he do before he went to bed? Right. What was he doing at night? He was doing right. He was doing what was right. Young person, God's desire for you right now as a teenager is not that you become a Bible scholar. It's not that you go out and you see thousands of people say, no. If you do that, praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what God's desire and God's interest is for you right now? Do right. That's it. It's simple. Just do what is right. You say, what is doing right? Doing right means simply obeying. Simply obeying. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is, you tell me, right. This is right. What? Right. It's right. What is right? Obedience is right. Obedience is right. And really, young person, if you just choose to obey, you will find yourself at the end of your life with far less regrets than you would have had if you just did your own thing, what you wanted to do, what you thought was best for your life. Simply doing what is right. Obedience. Obedience. For this is right. Listen, 90% of your right doing is simply obeying. Now, conference time, it's exciting. Conference time, you're up in front of people and you're performing and you're doing different things. Guess what? Tomorrow you're going to go home and you've been gone for the last 3 days. The garbage can's going to be overflowing. And mom's going to say, can you please haul the garbage? Right there you have a choice. Am I going to do right or am I going to do my own thing? You're going to go home and the dog's going to need to be walked. And your mom and dad says, go walk the dog. Are you serious? I just got done with a 12-hour ride and you asked me to walk the dog? Come on. I just got done with performing at conference. I deserve a little bit of a break here. Come on, a 3-4 hour rest when I get home. You have a choice. Do right. Do right, young person. Obedience comes from the heart. God wants your heart to be a heart of obedience. We find in Romans chapter 6. I want you to flip over there. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. The Bible says, But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the what? Heart. Ye have obeyed from the heart. The heart is what God is after. And God is looking for an obedient heart. He looks at the heart and He tries to find a heart that is simply willing to obey. Well, what are my responsibilities as a teenager? Now I've dedicated my life to the Lord. And here's all these ministries and God has a purpose for my life. And I've got to serve God in a great way. You know what it is? Do right. Simple. Do right. Young person, look at right. What you're looking at on your cell phone, is it right? Young person, what you're looking at on the computer screen, is it right? Boys, what you are doing in your mind, is it right? You ladies, what you are dreaming about, is it right? The goals that you have for your life, is it right? It all starts with a simple heart of obedience. God's looking for an obedient heart. A heart. How's your heart before God? I believe an obedient heart is one that does not need explanation for every command that is given. Why do I need to go do that? Or how come? Are you serious? A heart that is obedient to the Lord doesn't always put a question mark behind every command that a mom or dad... Listen, it is so much easier to obey your youth director than it is your mom and dad. Huh? But you got to make sure your mom and dad, you have an obedient heart to your parents just as well as your pastor, your youth director. You give your heart to your parents. God's not going to bless you, young person, if you are doing the right thing, saying the right thing, look the right way in front of your youth pastor, and you go home and you live a double standard at home. God's not going to bless that. Come on. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God cannot bless that. Young person, you are desiring to be used of God. I've heard you speak about it this week. I've heard some of you share your desire to serve God. God can't use you if you don't have a heart of obedience before Him. A heart of obedience does not need an explanation. Listen, a heart of obedience is obedience without delay. Whatever you want, whenever you want. I'm ready to obey without putting a question mark behind it. And I'm ready to do whatever you ask me to do right away. Without delay. Delayed obedience is disobedience. You know that. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And young people, if you just get that simple thing down in your life, it'll help you the rest of your life. I'm talking about when you're an adult and you're serving or working for a boss and you're simply obedient, it will help you out. Huh? Without explanation, without delay, without pouting. Well, I just think that I should be able to do my own thing. Crossing the arms, shrugging the shoulders, sighing. Huh? What are those movements? Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous. No. That's what happens. That's what happens. Or maybe it's a fast one. Huh? And you always get that little body movement in there. Huh? Got to work that in. You know what? Some adults do the same thing. It's quite interesting. Huh? Yeah, they pout. You know why? Because nobody kicked them in the tail when they were a teenager and said, hey, obey without pouting, without explanation, without delay. Obey. Do what you're told. Huh? The Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing, without murmuring and disputing. That's grumbling. You walk away, you're told to do something, you walk away, and just, huh? I told an adult to do something, and I walk out of the room, and I hear that noise. I think to myself, what in the world? If they had a question, why'd they just speak up and ask me? Instead of grumbling. Blah, 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 blah. Murmuring, grumbling, disputing. I think disputing is really interesting. God said, don't murmur. Do things without murmuring and do things without disputing. Disputing means discussion. I want you to haul the garbage. Hold on, let's have a debate about this, you know? The garbage is 3 days old and it really stinks, and I don't think that I deserve to have to pull that garbage out of the garbage can like that. And the discussion begins, and good night. Why should a young person look back at their parent and start a discussion about a command? Well, I'll just think about that here in just a little bit. And by the way, we'll have a little dialogue about it. There is no such thing as a dialogue to a command. It's called obedience. Disputing means debate. It means reasoning. All right, we'll reason this out here. We'll negotiate. Listen, obedience is not obedience if there's negotiation in the process. Well, let me negotiate this a little bit and tweak it a little bit. All right, Mom and Dad, you pull the liner out of the garbage can and stick it by the door. Then I will walk around and then I'll haul it the rest of the way. Now, there is no such thing as negotiating. Disputing two words, young person, I hope that stick with you as you live your days saying, what should I do? Now that I am dedicated to God, what should I do? What's my big responsibility? Do right. Do right. That's it. You wake up in the morning. I hope while you move your head on that pillow, you hear the sounds of the pillow. It says, shh, do right. Yeah. And I hope when you get out of bed, as you put one foot on the floor, the floorboard says do, and the other one says right. I hope when you go down to the breakfast table as you're pouring cereal in your bowl, it slides out of there and says, do right. Do right. As you pour that milk on there, I hope it goes, do right. I hope you hear, do right, do right, do right. I hope as you get ready for school, you're packing your bag, your book bag, and you walk out that door, I hope that door slams and it says, do right. Do right. Do right. Do right, young person. Do right. Listen, if you go to school and you have that one passion on your heart all day long, I just want to do right. Listen, your principal will be pleased with your performance. Your pastor will be pleased. Your parents will say, good night, what happened to my young person? Yeah. Simple thing, do right. I hope when you go to get ready for bed at night, you turn that water on, you get your toothpaste on that toothbrush, and you start brushing. Do right. Do right, do right, do right, do right, do right, do right. Yeah. I hope the person beside you tonight snores. Do right. I hope they snore all night long with those two words. Do right, do right, do right, do right, do right. Young person, that's the big responsibility right now. And it's big. It's big. Anybody got that one mastered yet? It's a big responsibility. Oh, what big shoes can I fill as a 16-year-old? Do right. Do right. I believe that Samuel gave himself to those two words. Do right. Do right. I believe the second thing that he did was surrendering all. Young people, those two things. Doing right. And surrendering all. If you've got that down, listen, God will come by your pew and God can call you to do something great and mighty for Him because you're surrendered. The surrender. See, with every gift of life, catch this, with every gift of life is born the stubborn will of man. As a little child is born, we just had our little Nathan back in August the 11th, just a little guy, I think it was 5'6". I believe. Yeah, 5'6". All right. 5'6". It's a little boy. We held him up there and began to cry. Thought, my goodness, such a precious angel. As they grow up, you know something different, huh? They got a stubborn will. Even an infant. Nine months ago? He's got a stubborn will, even now. You know what? That was the story for every one of us. Me included. Yeah, every one of us. We're born with something called a stubborn will. And God starts at a young age to bend that will. Like the little child that goes over to the light socket and pokes a knife in it. No, no. Mom and dad walks away, grabs the knife, puts it about right back in there. No, no. Huh? Gets a slap on the hand. The child has a stubborn will. My dad tells me the story when I was just a little boy. He would lay me down, and as he laid me down, I was crying, and he would back out of the room, and he would close the door, and then he would look through the keyhole. And after he closed the door, I'd stand right back up in the crib, and I'd cry. He'd come in. He would give me a good whooping, and then he would lay me back down, and he'd close the door, and he'd peek through the keyhole there. I'd stand right back up, cry. You say, what a naughty little boy. That's exactly right. I had a strong, stubborn will. And you know what? You've got one too. You've got a strong, stubborn will. And listen, unless your will is surrendered, God will never be able to use you to your fullest capacity for Him. Your will's got to be surrendered. With every gift of life is born the stubborn will of mankind. Samuel was taught at a young age to surrender all to the Lord. Surrender all. In verse 9 and 10, we find here, it says, speak for thy, what? Servant. Speak for thy servant. Hear it. Samuel responded to the voice of God. Speak. Speak. He also responded with the words, here am I. What do you want? Listen, young person, God wants something from you. But He will not force you. He will not rip it from you. He will only take it as it is given to Him. And that's it. He will receive it based on your yielding to Him. Surrendering all, complete surrender, is not a one-time event. Hold on, Brother Hansen, I went to that altar one time. And I knelt and I said, God, I surrender all. And God, I'm yielding my life to whatever You want me to do. That's great. That's dedication. But surrender is every day. You must go to God and say, God, I surrender my will. It's an hour by hour event. God, I surrender my will. I'm yielding myself to You. When I first entered into the ministry, I thought, well, people aren't doing right because they just don't understand. And as soon as I explain this doctrine to a new convert or whatnot, as soon as I explain the doctrine, then they're going to start doing it. It's just as simple as that. People just don't understand. But as soon as they understand, they will absolutely want to do what is right. And somebody come in, told them, okay, this is what we need to do. I know you don't didn't understand that. This is what we need to do. And all right, got it, understand it? Yes. Go out, come back in. Well, this is going on. This, did you do what we talked about? Well, I haven't quite started that yet. What? Why didn't? Well, I just didn't want to. The stubborn will of man, and unless the individual comes to the point where they surrender all, they will never be able to be used of God to their fullest potential. Andrew Murray, a great missionary there in Africa in the 1800s, went back to Scotland and he was asked the question when he went into the church. He was asked this question, what is the greatest need of the church? Or one message that must be heard? Without delay, Andrew Murray looked at the man and he said, absolute surrender to God is the one thing. absolute surrender to God is the one thing. Why? Because we have a stubborn will that does not want to give in to God's will in our lives. We have a perfect example, Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. And Jesus begins to talk to His Father and He says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And young person, it must be an hourly thing. It must be a continual thing. It must be a mindset. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. God, what do you want with my life, Lord? You see, the devil is always waiting to bargain with you. He's always ready to ask a partial surrender. When God says, I want all your heart, all your mind, all your... I want everything. I want anything left out. The devil begins to bargain a little bit at a time. We have a perfect example of that in Exodus. Exodus chapter number 8 tells us the story of the children of Israel wanting to leave Egypt. And the Bible says that Pharaoh began to bargain with Moses. Pharaoh begins to talk to him in verse 25 of Exodus chapter 8. It says, "Go ye sacrifice to the Lord your God in the land." Don't go into Canaan. No need to go out there. Just stay right here and do sacrifices or have sacrifices to your God here in Egypt. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. There is something wrong with that. It's not what God asked. It's not what God asked. We have Him come back to Moses again in verse 27. It says, "We will go 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice unto the Lord our God as He shall command us." Moses said, we are not going just into Egypt and sacrificing to the Lord. We're going all the way out of Egypt. He says here in verse 28, "Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Don't go too far. Don't go too far. Make sure you're able to walk the line where you can come back if you get in a place of danger. Make sure you can come back. Don't go too far, Moses. We have there in Exodus chapter 10, the last bargain that Pharaoh gives Moses. It says, "Not so." In verse 11, "Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord." Only let the men go. Let the children stay behind. Let the kids stay here in Egypt. Keep them here. Let the men go out and serve God. Listen, the devil was bargaining for the children of Israel. And the devil comes by and he bargains for your life. He says, "Oh, don't give all. Don't surrender all. Just a portion. Just tell God you're willing to serve Him part of the time. But full surrender? Well, that went overboard there. Full surrender. Absolute surrender. I don't know about that. Are you serious? I may not be able to do the things that I want to do, the things that I desire to do." Young person, listen. God's will is so much greater than your dreams. What God can do with your life is so much greater than what you can dream up for your life. We have the story in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1 through 4. We have a man of Ben-Hadad comes to the king of Israel. Ben-Hadad has 32 nations with him, or 32 kings with him. And Ben-Hadad says, "I want what you have, Ahab." Ahab responds with these words in verse number 4. "I am thine, and all that I have. I am thine, and all that I have. Everything is yours." You know what? The King of the universe comes to you and says, "I want what you have. I want your life. I want it." What's the response? "I am thine and all that I have." Young people, is that the response that you give God tonight? "Here I am. Lord, anything you want, here I am. I'm ready to surrender all. all of it. And I'm not talking just about going to the mission field. I'm not talking about going into the full-time ministry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about yielding to whatever God's will is for your life. If it's a godly mechanic, God bless you, be a godly mechanic. But you surrender every day that you're a mechanic, you go to God and say, God, all that I have is yours. I am yours. A man by the name of Judson Vandelenter was 17 years old, grew up in a Christian home. The man got saved. He got saved there at age 17 and went off to college and went and studied art. He loved art. And he also got his degree in music. He enjoyed music. Began his very successful career there in the universe. Began to travel for the universe all over Europe. In 1891, Judson was at a service and the Spirit of God began to speak to his heart. He said, Judson, you need to be an evangelist, full-time evangelist. Judson said, No. I'm in the middle of my career. I'm enjoying art. I'm enjoying the galleries, art galleries that I go to. I enjoy the music too much that I'm involved in, the secular music that I'm involved in, and not bad music, just secular music. I'm enjoying it too much. In 1891, the Spirit of God began to call him into evangelism. He fought with the Spirit of God for 5 years back and forth. No, I don't want to surrender. The Spirit of God would say, Judson, you need to surrender. I want to do something through you. I want your all, Judson. Judson said, no. Finally, there in 1896, Judson was leading the choir at a home revival in his church. He was leading the choir and the Spirit of God began to convict him. As the Spirit of God began to bear down in his heart, he sat down in the pew. And at the end of the service, he came to the altar. He began to cry and weep. He said, finally, Lord, I surrender. I surrender to your will for my life. He went home to his house there and he grabbed his pen and he grabbed a piece of paper and he penned the words. We find him penning the words to, I surrender all. He sits down and he pens, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me. Then he writes, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Young person, can you honestly sing that song? Or is it just another song that we sing? I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Or is it from the heart? I surrender all. That's it, young person. Do right, surrender all. Do right, surrender all. A few years later, a man by the name of Winfield Wheaton got the lyrics of the song that he wrote and he put music to the lyrics. He loved the song so much that his last request, listen to this, his last request was, place on my tombstone, I surrender all. I surrender all. Then we have another man by the name of Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. I did it my way, for I surrender all. Just a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. Young person, my question is to you, is your all surrendered? The instrumentalist, if the pianist could come at this time. Young person, I want you to grab your songbook. I want you to turn to 287. As quietly as you can. I want to sing that song. Listen, about a month and a half ago, I preached about surrender. Surrendering all in our Sunday evening service. And on my left-hand side, there was a teenage girl that began to just sob and sob and sob. And as soon as the invitation started, she came down to the front and she began just sobbing her hands and wept all the way through the invitation. And then she couldn't even go back to her seat. She cut out and went out the side and didn't return back to the auditorium. She was just sobbing so hard. At the end of the service, I was standing in the back and I was shaking hands, and she came and I shook her hand and I said, "Is everything right? Are you okay? Did you make the decision that you need to make?" She said, "Yes, I'm struggling right now." One of our seniors. I want to do something and God's calling me. I'm struggling right now. I said, "Listen, if I can do anything for you, if you need to talk, I'm praying for you. I'd love to talk with you." Came in for a senior meeting, talking about college. We sat down and I said, "You know, God spoke to your heart a few weeks ago. What's going on?" Her eyes began to swell up with tears again, and she said, "God's calling me to be a missionary." I about jumped out of my desk. I said, "Man, God's calling you to be a missionary. Man, why didn't you tell me? What an exciting thing." She said, "Yeah, but I want to do something else." I said, "You got to surrender. You got to surrender." I said, "Listen, why don't you come forward the next service and make it public?" "So, make it public." I said, "Yeah, otherwise you're going to be talked out of it by the voice of the devil and you'll never make it to the mission field." Young person, listen, it hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. Breaks my heart. I surrender all. Young person, is it, "Yeah, I give my life to you, Lord, and whatever you want, I'm willing to do. All right, now I'll go out and do my own thing." Or do you carry in your spirit? It's a heart thing. It's not just words, it's a heart thing. I surrender all. My plans, my desires, my dreams, they're all yours, God. I surrender all. As the piano begins to play, we're going to sing "I Surrender All" to 87. We're going to slow it down as the piano begins to play here. First verse, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will never and trust Him in His presence daily live." Young person, can you say this from your heart? "I surrender all." Keep singing. "I surrender all." Is it all? Or is it a partial commitment? Has Satan bargained with you? You can surrender some, not the whole thing. "All to Jesus I surrender." Catch this next word. "At Thy feet I bow. Worldly pleasures, all forsaken." Is that true? Is that true? Are you living for what the world has to offer you? I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Make me Savior. I hear that word. Holy, holy, holy thine. Refill me, may I know thy power divine. Girl, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I want you to look at these words on the last verse. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. That's what He desires tonight. He desires you. I'll make this decision and this decision and this decision. No, He wants you, young person. He wants your heart. He wants all of it. 110%. Sing it together on that fourth verse. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Is that true? Is it true, young person? Are you asking Him to take you wholly? Sings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. If we could see your tombstone from this evening, what would the Spirit of God write on your tombstone? I'm not asking you what you would have carved or etched, engraved on your tombstone. I'm asking you, what would the Spirit of God engrave? He did it His way, or He surrendered all. She surrendered all. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm dedicated. Now what? Young person, maybe you've already come to the altar and you've made decisions and you've committed your life to God. I'm asking you tonight, would you be willing to make a decision to do right and to surrender all? All. Maybe you'd say, Brother Hanson, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I know I'm not doing right. There are some things that are going on in my life that are not right. God sees it all. And I know if I were to stand before Him tonight, He would not say that I am right before Him. It's not right. But I want to be right. I want to do right. Brother Hanson, God spoke to my heart tonight. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? Yes, I see those hands. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. Many hands. You may put your hands down. Maybe you'd say, Brother Hanson, I feel like I'm doing right, but this thing of surrendering all, I've got a stubborn will. Listen, young person, I'm right with you. I've got a stubborn will. It was 2 years ago. I didn't have a surrendered will. I fought. I fought and fought. Even after I went and made a decision, I still fought for several months after.
till I did what God wanted me to do, and I still had to go to the altar of my own church. And I had to surrender. I was fighting. Young person, are you willing to surrender all? Willing to give it to God, the whole life? Whatever He wants, here's it all. And he said, God spoke to my heart. Brother Hansen, here's my hand. Would you slip your hand up? Yes, yes, I see those hands. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. You put your hands down. Let me encourage you, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Make a decision tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you saw the hands that were raised. And oh God, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us, not just the young people, myself included. God, help me to do right. I pray, oh God, that I'd be surrendered all, wholly to you, Lord. I pray, God, the hearts of the young people that you've been speaking to make a decision to surrender all tonight. Make a decision tonight that will last them for the rest of their lives, Lord, please. In Christ's name we pray. As the instrument begins to play, let me encourage you, come on the first note. I surrender all. Are you surrendered tonight? Many have come. How about you? If there's no room for in the aisle that you are sitting by, if you just sit down or kneel beside your pew, say, God, I want to give it all. The decision is never easy. Ah, but the benefits are so worth it, young person. So worth it.